Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yes, that is a radio.com sports station, WTM 980 and 980.com. Also, the radio.com app. This is Brian Mitchell, and this is the Brian Mitchell Show. And we're going to try to bring you a very good show today. I know a lot of people are interested in what's happening in our political world, because one thing about this country, I would say that we are resilient. We have a lot of different things that go on, but we come back and we have to just realize that this is the United States. You're not going to agree with everything, but as a lot of people say over and over again, and I truly believe, this is the best country in the whole wide world, because you have a chance to voice your opinion. And I know there are millions of people who did not like the way things went, but there have been millions of people throughout year in and year out that we don't like how things go. But you go along with it and you wait till the next time to express and voice your opinion also. So today, as they swear in the 46th president of the United States, Joseph R. Biden, and also Vice President Kamala Harris, we're going to have to celebrate this, as this is a country. This is a countrywide thing. This is something that went for our world. We always believe in the majority wins, and the Electoral College majority wins. And that's exactly what happened. But today we have a very good show for you today. I have J.P. Finley joining me to talk about the different things that are transpiring with the Washington football team. You know, J.P. also does the Washington Football Talk podcast. He, Mitch Tischler, and also Pete Haley, they go through a ton of things. Then I'm going to get a guy who played with the Green Bay Packers. As I said, I'm going to try to get someone from every city to discuss the games that are coming up this weekend. We had Andy Reid yesterday, and we're going to have Antonio Freeman, who had two stints in Green Bay. He was there once from 95 to 2001, went back in 2003. He's a Super Bowl 31 champion, also a Pro Bowler and a first-team All-Pro from 1998, led the league in yards that year, and he's in the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. And I'm just going to tell y'all, he absolutely loves his green and his yellow and his cheese heads that float around up there. Also, we're looking to try and get Chase Hughes on. The Washington Wizards should be playing tonight, but their game will be canceled again. Okay, and I'm not concerned about the games being canceled and things of that nature. I understand that in the sports world today, we have to have that remedy to be able to say, yes, we need to postpone this or cancel or whatever. But the question I have is, how are they going to make these games up? Postponements normally mean you're going to play it again. This is now five or six games that's been postponed. How are you going to make these games up now in a shortened season? Shortened seasons where all of a sudden the games are going to be playing a lot quicker. So as you move forward, how do you get that worked out? The other teams have schedules as well. So will it be something that we're going to see happen? Or is it just a lot of talk when you begin to look at those different types of things? And I just want to figure it out. And we have two, I would say, legends. I look at Phillip Rivers. I look at Drew Brees, two guys that I think have played some spectacular football. We'll discuss those guys. Drew Brees is expected to retire. Phillip Rivers is going to announce his retirement, and many people may not give him a lot of credit, but I would say he is one of the toughest SOBs who ever played this game. I watched the guy put on a knee brace after having ligaments torn in his knee and balled the hell out. I absolutely love the way he played. I love the way people like Brett Favre played, but later on we'll talk. Today is Wednesday. It's hump day, and you know I normally on hump day I open up the phone lines and I have the open call segment, which you decide the topics you want to discuss. And I think we're going to do a lot of that today. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. Also looking for some people to come in and talk about those two guys that were, and talk about their careers and see, do they have a little bit more in the tank? Or will some young guy just pop up and take over? That is something we're going to find out. And now it's time for the opening kickoff.
Mitchell's going to return it. To the 30, 35, breaks the tackle of the 40. He may go. It's over. It's a touchdown for Mitchell.
Mitchell from the 10. Mitchell! Can he go 90? He can't!
It's time for B-Mitch to take the opening kickoff.
It's time for the opening kickoff, and I would be a fool to sit here and act like I don't know what's happening and going on in the political world, and I discussed it just a little bit earlier. And I sat here, and all morning you had all the different coverages about the inauguration, and then President Trump, who was getting ready to leave D.C. and go down to Florida, Mar-a-Lago. And then you start thinking about all the things that have transpired over these last 4 years, and it's definitely these last few weeks or so. And as a sports guy, you know, a lot of times people tell us to just stick to sports. But I'm a human being first. And as a human being, I deal with all this stuff because I have kids. And I worry about my kids when they go out into the world. I worry about my family. I worry about my friends. Okay? And there are a lot of people out there that, you know, I run into on a regular basis. All walks, all colors. And you know what? I have too many people that walk up to me and are happy about what's going on, who I am, who they are. You know, we have cordial conversations, but we need to really believe that our country has gotten to a point of no return. And as I began to watch all the things going on with the inauguration, and I'm sitting there with my 18-year-old daughter and watching her and the excitement she had in her eyes, I just began to step back and wonder, you know, because as an older man now, you always wonder what your kids are thinking, okay? And I watch my kids when they bring their friends around, and their friends are like the United Nations. You know, like with the Statue of Liberty up there in New York at Ellis Island. What is there for? To welcome all walks and all people in. And I see their friends, and that's what I love that, because you know what? As we grow, we think back to our futures. I don't care if you're white, black, or whatever. Think back to when you were younger. And think back, if you have allowed your kids to go out there and express themselves and make their decisions based off of how someone treats them in a proper way, it's probably a lot different than what it was for you. But if you have sat there and tried to force your biasness, force your bad thoughts and feelings on your kids, then it probably looked just like yours. And it is what you want it to be. But I have highly believed in allowing my kids to go out there and pave their own way. And I try my best to help them, because when I think back to my childhood, a lot of my friends are different colors. A lot of my friends are different religions, different backgrounds. Some are rich, some are poor. But you know what? I got love from all of them. And that's the one thing that I notice around this United States of America. When you go around and you begin to you function and you operate and you engage with different people, you find out that people are just like you. You deal with the same things. And once we get past looking at someone just because of what they look like, we all seem to have a better time, we have a lot more fun, and good things begin to happen. I was happy to grow up in the sports world. And I would advise anybody out there that's thinking right now about whether or not to let your kids go into a sports world. And I will tell you this. Let your kids go into the sports world without trying to give them anything that's going to make them have a certain way. Don't give them the stereotypes of what you have. Don't have them having the biases of whether they're unconscious or consciously. Don't give them those biases. And when your kids go out in the world, I guarantee you in the sports world, they're going to find out that I don't care what he looks like. I don't care what she looks like. I don't care what color they are, what religion. But if I got to depend on them and they do what they're supposed to do on a regular basis, I'm going to be satisfied with that person. And then I'm going to find myself as I creep in a little bit. You know, I'm going to learn more about them. And I'm going to find out that this is a true friend. Look at Remember the Titans. Remember the little story of the guy on defense, guy on offense? They didn't like each other. Then all of a sudden they start getting together, getting a little closer, and they learn more and more about each other. I'm going to challenge everybody out there that listens to this show, the Brian Mitchell Show. As long as I'm around, I'm going to talk about bringing us together. I'm going to talk about trying to make things better, because let's get this straight. We sit up there, we cheer for our football team. We don't cheer for other teams. We despise the team, but guess what? As soon as we walk out of a place where they're playing the games or we walk out of our houses, guess who we're hand in hand with? Somebody that cheer for the team that you don't like. Right, we got people that are married that love the Redskins. The Washington football team. We got people that are married to someone that loves the Cowboys. Think about it. Also, up there in New York, they got people that, they despise Philadelphia. But you know what? They're in love with somebody that loves Philadelphia. So what is it about? It's about, you know what? It's something that we deal with. Sports, politics is there, but it should not run your life. And I'm going to challenge everybody to just try to figure out on a monthly basis. I'm not going to try to do it like a lot of people say. Try to do it every day. It would be noble if every one of us could try to find somebody new every day and learn something about them, which would make us learn more about ourselves and learn more about our country, okay? And it works in politics, and it works in sports. So I'm going to ask you monthly, at least reach out to somebody that you wouldn't ordinarily talk to. Learn to sit there, listen. Then when you start talking, I hope they listen. And I guarantee you, we'll come to a point where we're going to understand that this United States of America is what we are all trying to push forward. We're trying to make sure that we can have the best country that we've always had and continue to be that way. And for those people that don't want to come together, that's the ones that are going to be automatically pushed to the side. But I've noticed, you know, mob mentalities is one thing. When people are alone, they normally think a different way. I can remember one time when I was dealing and I had a person where they spoke all the time. I won't say any names because I don't want to start any problems in people's houses. They'll speak to you. But when they were around their people, they never spoke because the person put a certain mindset out there. What does that mean? A lot of people today live based off of what someone else thinks, what someone else says, instead of living based off of what you believe in. If you believe in togetherness, if you believe in reaching out to people of different walks and things like that, let's start doing that. Because this country wasn't built by one. It wasn't made for one. It was made for multiple, made for many. And that's how we're going to continue going on and keep being a trendsetter, a leader in this country, in this world. And I believe that's all we should do. So as we get ready for our football, our basketball, our baseball, and everything else that we discuss, let's remember, when it all said and done, we are all human beings living in this country of the United States of America. And we have that in common. We can have our little differences, but ultimately we come together to push us forward. All right. We're going to get ready. We're going to take a break here. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team980.com, and the Radio.com app. Get ready for J.P. Finley, NBC Sports Washington, and the Washington Football Talk podcast will join us. Get his take on all the things that are happening around the Washington football team. All right, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team980.com, and the Radio.com app. And I have a huge studio today. I'm sitting in my basement, which is rather bigger than the studio that we have. And I kind of try to make it be set up a little bit like I am in the studio. I got multiple computers around me. You know, I got my pictures and stuff up. But there's a bar over there to the left. I'm going to try my best to ignore that bar until 3 o'clock or 2:54, say it like that. But joining me now from NBC Sports Washington and the Washington Football Talk podcast, my little bro, the big-eared one, J.P. Finley. What's up, J.P.? How you doing, man?
Did you see Garth Brooks come out in jeans? Everybody else wearing suits?
Hey, what did I said this a few weeks ago. Be who you are. Garth, you know, Brooks stop trying. People try to be other people. And yeah. Garth Brooks has always worn jeans. And I see this guy, Dr. Eric Thomas, who's a motivational speaker. Everybody else shows up in suits. He shows up in jeans, Jordans, a T-shirt, and a hat.
I love it.
Dude makes $50,000 to $100,000 to $300,000 per speech.
That's good. I'd like that job. What's up, man? It's a weird day, dude. Like, you know, I grew up here, and I remember going to inauguration every time since I was a little kid. Like, I remember the first one I really remember would be George Bush Sr., and then Clinton, and then, you know, George W. Bush, and then Obama. Like, growing up here, inauguration is not about the partisan politics. It's a giant party, you know,
it's a party.
And it's usually super cold. And so this year is just so bizarre with COVID and then, you know, everything that happened a couple weeks ago at the Capitol, and the security is bananas everywhere you go.
20,000+ troops here. 4,000 in Afghanistan. Think about that.
That's, I mean, and you know, look, and like it, you and I don't do politics. You and I, you know, we talk about things off the air, but that's not what I'm here for. It's just crazy to watch this from my house rather than have my daughters at a parade. You
but
know,
you know what I said, though, JP? The way I look at it is like this. It's not about us trying to speak politics, but you're speaking parent. You're speaking reality. And the things that transpire in this world, you have two beautiful little girls. You're worried about those little girls as they go away from you. You're worried about your wife when she goes into work and go other places. Same thing with me, worrying about my daughters, my son, my wife, you know. I think it's more about that. I think people, people that want to keep you in the dark always say, oh, don't discuss that then. No, it's life. And if you turn on any damn TV today, you're going to see it whether you want to see it or not. Even if you turn on the sports channels, they're going to refer back to it, you know, and it's what's going on. But ultimately, you know, this country, as I said earlier, is the, and I use my opening kickoff for it, it's the best in the world. And we have to learn how to deal with differences and still be able to move forward. Hell, we don't agree with everything you and I. Me and you beat them, but does it ever stop us from having a good time? Hell no.
Right. Well said. Well said.
And I think that's the thing of it. Listen, I'm not going to agree with everything you say. You're not going to agree with everything I say. But it's not going to stop us from pouring us a bourbon or getting us a beer and discussing the sports and the things that we love.
We don't even agree on the premise of out of bounds on a golf course. Because
I agree on it. I just know what the stakes are. You all want it to be changing as
play. If you can find your golf ball, you can play it.
That's BS, okay? if there's a white stake or an outlying fence and you see your ball and you can get to it, it's still out of bounds. Bring it in, take your damn penalty, and then hit the ball. You can't just say, oh, I found it, I can hit it. What are you talking about? That's why I love you, though, because you sure try, boy. You go always get, you gonna go down trying.
Can't knock the hustle. What is I'm going on the radio in Charlotte at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And the folks down there are sure making fun of this Marty Herney hire.
Yeah, of course they're gonna make fun of it. They're gonna make fun of it. You know, that's what they
do. What are your callers like?
Well, we haven't started callers yet. Yesterday the callers were happy. They were saying like, I'm gonna tell you what happened. Ron Rivera came in and he made a lot of statements. And then it started off a little shaky. People were upset. And then as things went on, Ron stuck with what he was talking about. And things started to work. Okay? And all of a sudden, I think more fans believe in Ron and whatever he does. They believe in the fact that he's bringing someone who he's comfortable with. And I believe that you and I have been around long enough to understand no coach wants anybody in the building that's above them in it, per se, or can be close to the owner that is willing to stab him in the back. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't see anything wrong with it. And when you look at in Carolina, you know, they're going to say that stuff because they let him go. They're not going to show love for him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's like two different things to speak to. People that are surprised or mad that this is the hire. That doesn't make any sense to me. This was kind of, I thought, always going to be the hire, at least when Herney was let go, the way Ron talked about him last month.
Yes.
I thought the guy Ryan Cowden had a chance because he was a young guy that worked with Ron in Carolina. But I always thought Ron was going to get somebody he was very, very comfortable with.
Yeah.
And that's why Herney makes the most sense. That said, it's also a very uninspiring hire. I don't think you're going to look at the track record of Herney's kind of lack of success in Carolina and be excited about it. And I think that's okay too.
He had hits and misses just like every GM has. And me being a player, I'll say this. Okay. Charlie Casserly drafted me. Okay. He also drafted Heath Shula. Okay.
Right.
He drafted a first round guy that was a bust. He drafted a fifth-round guy that ended up playing 14 years and did some magnificent things. He also drafted Gus Frerotte that was drafted later that came good. So is Charlie a total bad GM because he drafted Heath? Or is he good because he found people in other spots? You hear what I'm saying? And I think ultimately a lot of people, a lot of fans who discuss the general manager, they don't have a damn clue because they don't know who makes the decision behind the scenes. I ask this question, okay, after you watch things over the last year, and I know most of our fans were giving Kyle Smith the credit, you think Kyle made more decisions than Ron made?
Well, even to that point, I think if you're going to celebrate Cam Curl and Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson, you got to ask serious questions about Darius Geis and Ryan Anderson. I mean, the second rounders have been awful.
See, but that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying last year, the decisions were made. A new guy came in with a coach-centric approach. Do the fans know if it was more Ron pushing for people or was it more Kyle pushing for people? Nobody knows. And I think moving forward with this whole Marty Herney thing, Ron Rivera said, I want someone who can handle the business administrative side of this stuff. And he got some people who has experience, where the guy Rogers from last year and also Herney this year. Those two guys have the experience to be the complete GM. But still, they know that the man who's the coach has final say. And I want people to take it back a little bit. When Charlie Cassidy was here, Bobby Bethard left because he and Joe Gibbs didn't always see eye to eye. When Charlie Cassidy came here, Charlie did a lot of stuff, but Joe had final say. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think people have to understand that you've heard Joe Gibbs. He said, yes, Ron Rivera's a good guy. Joe Gibbs has said Marty Herney is a good guy. Well, Herney was in San Diego at one point. Herney came here in 1990 around this area too and was always covering this team with the Washington Post. He has a lot of connections here. If Joe's pushing him, for those people that don't like to do nothing unless it's going to be something coming from a Washington football team, a player or somebody else, Joe Gibbs is pushing Herney as well. He pushed Ron, he pushing Herney. I'll go with it.
That's a good point.
you know what I'm saying?
I hadn't thought about the ties to Gibbs. Obviously, that carries a lot of weight with Snyder also. Mm-hmm. Herney certainly has ties to the organization, ties to the area. It all kind of adds up. I think I get fans' frustration about why didn't Kyle Smith at least get an interview when Eric Stokes got an interview. I mean, they interviewed five or six guys. Why wouldn't you at least give another in-house guy an interview? Because Ron had previously spoken pretty highly of him.
But hasn't he done an interview? He's been there all the time since Ron was hired. Kyle has been here.
It's like a full year of an interview. Yeah,
what I'm saying, if I'm with you every day, and this is what I tell a lot of my friends, I want people out there, if you have my phone number and I don't hit you on social media and you getting upset, you the damn fool. You have my phone number. Most people in the social media world don't have my phone number. I have people go, man, you never say nothing to me on Facebook. I talk to your dumb ass every day on the phone, every other day on the phone. Isn't that more important?
You want me to tweet out your phone number?
No, hell no. So if I call you if I talk to you on a regular basis, if I see you often, why do I need to bring you in a meeting to talk to me now for 15, 20 minutes or an hour? I've been around you watching you perform. Okay? When you don't think I'm watching you, when you know I'm watching you, I've been around you. Why do I have to now put you in an hour meeting to find out who you are? I may know who you are. And one thing Ron always talks about, us being on the same page, okay? If us being on the same page mean that everybody has to be all in instead of somebody trying to get another job, that may be a case. I don't know. I don't have those conversations with Ron, but I'm smart enough to understand if someone that we think is supposed to be moving up and they're not moving up, somebody not seeing exactly what they want to see from that person.
Well said. That's what I've been trying to say to folks. People are like, well, why isn't Kyle getting an interview? Why aren't they promoting Kyle? And to me, well said. That's what I've been trying to say to folks. People are like, well, why isn't Kyle getting an interview? Why aren't they promoting Kyle? And to me, that answers the question. They've been working together for a year. If Ron's not considering him for this, which he very obviously isn't, then clearly that relationship, that work dynamic, whatever that is, did not deliver what it needed to Ron.
Go ahead.
I don't think it requires like a conspiracy theory. Like clearly those two did not advance like some were expecting.
We won seven games last year. All of the pundits thought we should win five. And then clearly if we had a few games where the ball went bounced here or there, we could have won 9 or 10 games last year when people thought we should win five. With a team that many people did not like, because when he signed Logan Thomas, nobody liked that move. They didn't like McKissick move. But at the end of the year, you're going, damn, how did they find them? So somebody has something working, and I'm going to go along with that. I'll hit you with this. Okay, I remember I had to bump you yesterday for Andy Reid to come on the show. I remember I was on the show with Coach Thompson. I said, Coach, I can get Andy Reid on the show. He said, that man's a head coach. He don't have time to come out. I said, I'm going to call him and see. So I called him and Coach Reid said, yeah, definitely come on. And he said he wanted to meet Coach Thompson. So they met over the air. They talked. He said, why do you come on the show for this dude? He said, man, B. Mitch helped me by being a leader, and I'll do anything for him. Coach Gibbs told me if I'm tired of doing sports media in this town, stop doing football, I could come work with him on his racing team. I've never been on a racing team in my life, but it's something that he saw in me and saw about me to know that I'll go into racing and have some success as well. So that is what people have to understand. When you're around somebody on a regular basis, you don't have to limit the – I'm going to limit the fact that I've been around you for a year and bring it to a one-hour interview, and I'm going to make my decision off a one-hour interview. Hell, you just told me who you are. Am I going to like you? I know who you are when you're happy. I know you are when you're sad. I know everything, because I've been around you for a whole year, and I paid attention. A friend of mine had me go play golf with him one time and say, I want you to watch this guy. We're thinking about hiring him. They work in the financial industry. I saw the guy dropping balls all over the place. But I was afraid to tell him at first, you know, because I'm like, I'm going to stop a man from getting a job. But he said, no, I need to know exactly. I said, well, this dude here, man, he dropped balls. I don't know. He must have holes in his pockets. They didn't hire him. You know what I'm saying?
That's funny.
But so it comes down to people are worried about what they think. And this is more, the Sean McVay, the hangover that all of us have. Sean McVay, we're talking to J.P. Finley, NBC Sports Washington, and Washington Football Talk podcast here on the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, team980.com, and the radio.com app. But everybody's looking at what Sean McVay left and went to do. But let's think about this now. Everybody don't have to be Sean McVay. Every Sean McVay, young people are not dedicated to the craft like he is. You know the guy could go through a whole football game, call every damn play. He remember plays from 5, 6 years ago, not just a play, whole series. Not everybody has that determination and dedication to their craft. Shit. I mean, excuse me. Andy Reid, think about that. Andy Reid is what, 60 plus? I don't think there's a more innovative coach in the NFL than he is. But he was like that in 2000, 2001, 2002. Now the game calls for a lot of the stuff that he does. And he still looked like he's ahead of everybody else when it comes to offense. Am I right? So should you be looking for the next Sean McVay or the next Andy Reid? Think about that.
Well, and here's what I've tried to say. I feel like especially Washington football fans get fixated on a person, and I call it Ashburn syndrome, that they're just convinced that this one person, player, scout, coach, whatever it is the best, and that they're better than everybody else, and if they're gone, the whole operation will fall apart. And kind of to your point about McVay and Andy Reid, they're both great coaches. And there's other great coaches in the NFL. I think Kyle Shanahan, I say Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick. It's a big, wide world out there. And if Kyle goes somewhere else, that doesn't mean that whoever they bring in can't be really good. And it doesn't mean there aren't really good other options in the front office. So I think people get fixated on a certain thing with Kyle. I understand the lack of excitement. So you'll laugh at this. On the podcast, when Ron Rivera got hired, people were ready to throw him a parade in the streets, right? Like, people were so excited.
After we beat him with a coach that they didn't think was very good.
Right.
So think
with a running back that's since been cut. But hold on. The Marty Herney hire to me, so if Ron Rivera was like a 10, it was a parade. The Marty Herney hire is you get an email – that there's leftover sandwiches in the break room, and everybody can help themselves. Like,
but isn't that
exactly
naturally the
exciting
way it is, though? Coach, the coach is as much the face of a franchise as the quarterback is. I don't know many GMs that are the face of the franchise.
You know what coach got a really hard time for firing a GM and bringing in somebody he was more comfortable with?
Who?
Andy Reid. He fired John Dorsey and brought his own guy in. The next year, they traded for Mahomes, and it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah, but think about it, though. Second Super Bowl, he's not even there yet. He possibly could be. He's in the third AFC Championship game in a row.
Yeah. When he
only one time that three only one time that a team hosted three championship games, again, in the history of the NFL. And guess who that was? Andy Reid in Philadelphia.
Crazy, yeah.
So it just sometimes we don't know, and I think sometimes – part of the movie being great is actually sitting and watching every piece of it instead of just trying to get to the end. And I think we have to give this thing some time, because I want to be able to go back and say, I remember when they hired Ron Rivera and then they started doing this, 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 and this, and this. And no, this didn't work that perfect at first, but then we saw something come from it. And I want to be able to talk when we come out on the other end of this thing and say, you know what? Like I say most times, most people who talk sports don't know a damn thing about it. But they know that they talk, and people hear them. And because a couple people that they're talking to don't know even knows even less than them, they think they know what they're talking about. Then they start getting loud. And the majority, you found out in your time, the majority is not always the loudest. The minority is normally loud because, you know, there's only a few of them. And they're echoing off of those walls of that trash can that they're in. That's how it goes sometimes. But let's talk about one person who we can't fixate ourselves on, Chase Young. We fixated ourselves on him. How did he fare out this year?
That one worked. That one worked pretty well. Did you see Bruce Arians and all this stuff about the Defensive Rookie of the Year? I don't know if you saw.
He was talking about the little kid there who I think had a hell of a year too, though.
Yeah, Winfield.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
From Winfield Jr. Yeah, he was a baller at Minnesota too. But
yeah,
the Gophers, not the Vikings. But yeah. So Bruce Arians made a comment about, you know, I think he should be Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think it's. Coaches should stump for their guys always.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it works. But I just don't know why Arians had to throw a jab at Chase Young. Like I don't. He's like I don't feel.
I don't know if he's throwing a jab at Chase Young more than he's trying to defend his guy, because a lot of people down in Carolina are talking about the kid Chin as well.
Yeah.
You know. But that's the thing about it. Like some of these guys this is what I've said, JP, over the years. Sometimes I don't know how it's fair to compare a cornerback to a defensive end. You get what I'm saying? Because you look at Winfield and the impact he's had and the big plays he's had, it's hard for a safety to basically dominate a game. We haven't seen many Sean Taylors and Ed Reeves pop up. You know what I'm saying? So when you get a safety dominating the game like that, and a guy not that – he's not Sean Taylor's size. And when you see it, it's something that's out this world for you. So I can see why Bruce is fighting for his guy. And I think we have to get to the point where just because they're praising their guy don't mean that they're knocking our guy.
Yeah, but he knocked our guy. That's the difference. Like, he could have just praised his guy without mentioning, and I don't get what everybody's so excited about 7.5 sacks for. Like, the 7.5 sacks
because,
line.
Because, see, he basically falls into the stupidity.
Guy.
He's falling into the stupidity of the regular fan. It's not about the 7.5 sacks. It's about the scoop and score. It's about the fumble recoveries. It's about the knockdowns and the bat downs and all the other things that this young man did. Huh?
I'm with you there. That's why I'm saying it was like an unnecessary little jab. And if I was Chase, I wouldn't like it. But I also wonder if that has something to do with Chase talking about wanting to get to Tom Brady before the playoff game.
But nobody cares. And I think that's the ultimate thing where, you know, Bruce Arians, we could sit and we could talk about that. But then I could look at some other stuff from Bruce Arians, and I put him at the top of the coaching charts.
You know, I like Arian. I
love him because he believes in fairness.
Died,
he believes in opportunity.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, he's pushed diversity and all those things. And he's been, I think it's cool when coaches are actually kind of practice what they preach. And he's a dude that does it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely that. So, anything, what's happening on a podcast so we can make sure the fans know how they can get you when you're not in your regular job and you're slumming with those two guys you slum with.
It was actually very cool, man. We got an interview with John Riggins yesterday. And, it was fun.
Y'all should have did that in person. I'm telling you, he's the best guy to have a beer with.
I would love to do that. I also asked him about Marty Herney because, you know, Herney was covering the team when Riggo was on the team. And Riggins' scouting report on Herney was that, you know, we never invited the media, but I bet Marty Herney would have been a good guy to join the 5 o'clock.
So if Riggo's going to invite him to have a beer with him, I'll tell you, in a 5 o'clock club, that tell you Marty's a good dude.
We might have to get that put together one of these days.
Hey, call me too. I've had a few with those guys.
I know that you are generally amenable to 5 o'clock clubs.
All right, man. Well, we'll talk again. I love talking to you because it's not like an interview. It's just like having a conversation with your little bro.
Appreciate you, B.
All right, man. Take care. That's JP.
Enjoy
Finley,
your basement. You're just an internet troll in your basement today, huh? You're like a blogger.
Yeah, I'm in my basement, like most of these internet trolls, and hopefully I don't just mess with people. I'm trying to at least bring them something that entertains them a little bit.
I'm sure you are. I'll talk to you, man.
All right, man, appreciate you. That's J.P. Finley, NBC Sports Washington, and the Washington Football Talk Podcast joining us here on the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, team980.com, and the radio.com app. Let's take a look and see what's happening around the sports world.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
All right, this weekend we have a huge football game coming up with the Green Bay Packers taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay got them a little bit earlier in the year, and we're going to have joining us at 1:15 Antonio Freeman, former Eagle, former Miami Dolphin, and definitely a Green Bay Packer where he spent 2 years. He's going to join us at 1:15 to discuss that. The Caps lose another shootout game to the Pittsburgh Penguins, but still receive another point. They got 6 out of 8 points in 4 games. That's still good, but we need to figure out why so many penalties and how we're going to get over that hump. And then also Drew Brees, expected to retire. Phillip Rivers is a guy that will be retiring. He's going to announce that very, very soon. We'll try to discuss that a little bit later on in the show. And then on top of it in the baseball world, George Springer, big-time free agent where a lot of people are out there looking for him. Houston Astros, he signed a 6-year, $150 million deal with the Blue Jays. And also, the Blue Jays signed his friend, Michael Brantley, and say, hey, I'm going to bring you here. I'm going to make sure you're comfortable. I'll bring your friend with you. I don't know if he got that type of money that Springer got, but that's just how things are going. That's what's happening around the sports world. Hi, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. Got me in here dancing. I love this song, Team 980, team980.com, the radio.com app. Ryan clearly is my producer today. And normally I have Vic Ferreira with me, and he's sitting at home correcting me on things that I'm talking about. So I'm going to bring some attention to you, Mr. Vic. I understand that a shootout and an overtime loss, you get 1 point. Am I right? I don't think it's if you get a shootout loss, you get more than 1 point. And if it's an overtime loss, you get more than 1 point. You win the game, you get 2, don't you? And if you win the game in regular, you get 2. You get no points if you lose it. Right or wrong? You know what I'm saying? Vic going to tell me, oh, it was just one overtime loss and one shootout loss correcting me. Well, damn it, it's out there now. Okay, we understand. But still, no matter how you put it, they only got one damn point. I want to see them get 2 points, Mr. Ferreira. I got him there, Ryan. All right, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. And this is Wednesday, people. And on Wednesday, I open up the phone lines. I want to hear from you things that are kind of troubling you in the sports world, whether it's around this town or something that's outside of it. If I know the answer, I'll get it to you. If I don't, I will definitely try to find it. 301-230-0980. Just finished talking to J.P. Finley, and it seemed to be a lot of people are not excited about the hiring of Marty Herney. And I asked the question, why? You know, we sit here and we get so concerned about the GMs and all. And I think for me, why I've never really got concerned about it is because the GM is never the guy in the spotlight. They're never the guy taking on the pressure and things of that nature because we don't know who they are for the most part. And a GM also is a guy sitting back. And there have been many situations where I see people in a situation like Coach Ron Rivera is right now where he has carte blanche, final say. Joe Jackson Gibbs had the same thing when I got here. And I think Coach Gibbs was so good at it where he never ever put it in people's faces. He still sat and he talked to everyone and wanted to know what they thought. But overall, he probably came in and said, let's get this guy. Let's get that guy. I know Kyle Allen has been the guy. And this is like JP said, you know, being out there in Ashburn, it's a syndrome that we think anybody that leaves the building is going to be exceptional somewhere else. You know, LaFleur up there in Green Bay, I think it is, he didn't just leave here and go straight to Green Bay. He went somewhere else first. So how do we know if the experience he got was from here or somewhere else? Yes, Sean McVay left, and Sean McVay had some success quickly. But I also had the chance to sit and talk with Sean and be around him to where everybody does not have that dedication. Everybody does not have that determination. They don't have that mentality. They can't go out there and be as creative as Sean is. They're not as creative as Andy Reid. So just because they were here with him and left, it doesn't mean anything. But I know that a man came here, and after 1 year, I saw people playing harder. I saw people talking differently. I didn't hear a lot of players speaking out of turn. I heard the same message being spoken. And he came in talking about one thing, changing a culture. And I think the culture has been changed. So that to me says a lot about what this man is doing. And when you're in those positions, I would ask anybody out there, if you get hired right now to be a manager at a place or you can be the COO, the CFO, no, COO, chief operating officer. And you had the opportunity to hire someone. And there was this guy over here that many people thought, he's the next guy. But you had a friend that you knew exactly how you thought and how you felt. Who are you going to hire? Are you going to hire the person that everybody else is telling you is great? Especially after you've been around the person for a whole year. And if he hasn't shown you that you're seeing what you want to see, and I don't know if this is the case or not, okay? But who would you really hire? And I know we talk about, you know, people, you know, nepotism and things of that nature, but there's some form of nepotism all over the place. It's not always a family member. Sometimes the friends are like the family members. But if the guy comes in and he does his job and he does it at a high level, we don't say anything about it. And that's the thing, that's the hypocritical aspect of society. We complain when things don't work, but we don't say a damn thing if it works out. When it's still the same thing. Am I lying to you, anybody out there? So it's all types of things going on now. You know, we got Chase Young, defensive rookie of the year, supposed to be. I know what JP said, Bruce Arians said, and then Bruce Arians has the right to fight for his guy, but your guy didn't win it, okay? And you may, I've always felt that the standards are different. Like every year when I look at the damn Heisman Trophy, it's always a damn quarterback. Till this year, they finally gave it to the right guy. But the Heisman Trophy winner is not always the quarterback. Quarterback gets it for being the most, like the Heisman is the best athlete out there. And not many times is the quarterback the best athlete. I'll just say that. There are occasional times when they are, but they're not the best athlete. Most valuable player, okay? Most valuable player. People always say, oh, yeah, man, the quarterback makes everybody better. Quarterback can't do a damn thing by himself, though. So how is he even more valuable than the center who probably makes more calls than the quarterback, who sets up and starts every damn play, you know? So how do we know exactly if the best person getting it or not? So let's get over this hump day. 301-230-0980. We'll be talking to Antonio Freeman a little bit later on. Also, we talked to J.P. Finley about the Washington football team and the things that are going on. And, hey, you may not even be a fan of the Washington football team. You may want to talk about hockey. Caps, 6 points out of eight in their first four games. You may want to talk about baseball. You know, Schwarber is there now. John Lester is on over there with the Nats. We're going to try to make a run. We're going to try to do some things now. We had our little year of chilling after we won the World Series. Now we got to get back to being who we were. And the game's coming up this weekend. Who are you cheering for? Who are you pulling for? I reached out to Byron Leftwich, tried to get him on later on this, in the week and talk to him about what's going on down there in Tampa. Hopefully he can get a turn. Also, so reached out to a young man up there in Buffalo. I want to see if I can bring somebody from every city to make sure you all can get a chance to hear what they're thinking, because I know how it goes. Everybody don't have a chance to go to the BetQL app, but if you go download the BetQL app, guess what? You have an opportunity to find out how good they are. They tell you the percentages of how many times they win when a team is going when they are the favorite or not the favorite, and you might win you a little money. So when I bring these other guys in, it's telling you a little something, because I know how the gamblers do it. The gamblers think about everything. They want to hear every little tidbit, and it makes them make their final decision. And then after they make their final decision, because they got all the information, they still blame you. They don't blame themselves. When you win, they don't give you credit. But when they lose, they always blame you. All right, this is the Brian Mitchell Show. We're going to take us a quick break here. We get back. We will get to these phone calls, 301-230-0980. It's Open Call Wednesday. Anything you want to talk about, somebody come on, top the line, and then all of a sudden we'll see everybody else, because everybody's always waiting to see who's going to go first. Don't be afraid. We can't see you anyway. This is the Brian Mitchell Show. We'll be back.